The subject of judgment has always been an unpopular one, even as it is today. People do not like to be told about their sin and about the wrath of God that will ultimately be poured out upon those who die in their sin. It was unpopular in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, and because of his faithfulness to the word of God, we read that men took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. And there were in the dungeon no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. There was another who anticipated such mire, the mire of sin. And we read concerning this one that he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now listen to this carefully. I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 44, concerning the Lord Jesus as he kneeled there in the Garden of Gethsemane in anticipation of becoming sin for us. He was in anticipating, as it were, being placed into a pit of the slime of my sin and yours. And as he anticipated the horror, the stench, the filth of my sin and yours, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This was God the Son. This was the incarnate Christ. This was the Lord Jesus who came from heaven that he might go to the cross and bear my sin and yours in his own body on the tree. But he was anticipating an experience that can be compared to Jeremiah the prophet being placed in that pit. We read from 2 Corinthians 5, For he, that is God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, that's you and me, God the Son who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we read from the book of 1 Peter, that he, the Lord Jesus, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And yet it goes on to say, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It has been my pleasure to stand in that garden scene, that Mount of Olives, and see the very area where God the Son, where the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Christ, bowed in prayer and agonized in the Father's presence, even to the extent that an angel came and ministered to him, strengthening him. Even to the extent that as he agonized and prayed more earnestly, Luke, the doctor, tells us that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. It was a horrible experience for Jeremiah to go into that pit of slime and sink in the mire. But it is not even in comparison with what God did when the Lord Jesus so loved you and so loved me that he sank at Calvary, bleeding and dying there for us, his holy soul, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, being poured out like a drink offering. And there that one who knew no sin, he took mine and yours, and he bore in his body, identifying with us all the agony and suffering that he endured, even to the pouring out of his soul, being identified for a time with our sin. Friend of mine, that's what we mean when we say Jesus paid it all. When he had by himself purged our sins, he was resurrected from the grave, he ascended to the Father's right hand, and praise God, he is there now as our advocate, as our intercessor, that is, for those of us who are in Christ. And he's there as the Savior to all who will come by faith and say, Lord Jesus, I plead guilty. I'm a rebel, I'm a lost sinner, but I'll take Christ as my Savior. He says, fine, I have for you today the gift of eternal life and the assurance from God's Word that you can know you're going to heaven. Amen.